What is up, Giants fans? How are we doing? Happy Friday. Week two on the horizon. We got a little game preview for you guys. Welcome back to another episode of Talking Big Blue with JQ. Tom and I are here today. But we have a guest. We have JT Kessler coming on, former Jets fan, former Browns fan, and now, I almost said Cleveland Browns fan again, and Carolina Panthers fan, JT Kessler. What's up, JT? How are you doing, buddy? Last year, I had you on. For Browns, Giants, I'm pretty sure it was last year. It might have been even two years ago now. Jeez, wow. Okay, so time really flies when you're having fun. 2 years ago, we had a JT on for the Browns-Giants game. Tom wasn't there for that episode. But JT, how are you feeling about this matchup? Browns coming off a tough loss. Oh, my God, I'm saying Browns again. Again with the Browns. This is going to be confusing for me. So let me get this straight. Panthers are coming off a big loss on a game-winning field goal to the Browns, and the Giants escaped in Nashville a win on a last-second field goal that the Titans missed. JT, bro, what's good, dude?
What's going on?
Not much, man, not much. We're chilling. JT and I are going to the game this weekend. We're looking forward to it, super excited. Obviously, I'm hoping for a Giants win. Tom, what about you, dude? What are you up to this weekend?
Working over at the Worldwide Leader of Sports. But I'll be working, you know. I'll be on the college football shifts on Saturday. I don't think I have an assignment for Sunday, but obviously it's going to be all about the good old NFL. But you need to clarify for those listening that don't really know JT, because you basically made it sound like he's just drifted around the NFL fandom and has just been bouncing from team to team. There is a reason for that, JT. I'll let you take the ropes.
Yeah. So. My family, growing up, were pretty big Jets fans, and I wasn't that into the NFL as some were growing up, mostly because the Jets weren't very good besides those 2 years where they went to the championship. I never loved football until I started watching college football. I got into, and I actually started college football more than the NFL. And then I found myself rooting for I always rooted for Oklahoma because I liked Adrian Peterson when he was in college. So when Baker came along, I loved his story. I loved that he was a walk-on at Texas Tech. I loved that he transferred, didn't even call the coach, just transferred straight into the school, met the coach in person, tried out, eventually won the starting job. The rest is history. First ever walk-on in first ever Heisman winner walk-on history. And I thought in every mock draft, when Baker was getting drafted, everything had him going to the Jets. So it was kind of a match made in heaven. And I would have been like, wow, I love the Jets. I'd love watching football, whatever. And when Baker got drafted to the Browns, he wasn't really starting. I followed the Hard Knocks, just like everybody else did. And, you know, I was going into that season just rooting for the Jets like I usually do because Baker wasn't playing. Well, that Thursday night game when Baker came in against the Jets, I found myself for the first half rooting for the Jets. And then the second he stepped onto the field, naturally, I just thought, you know, I hope he wins. Like, I hope he succeeds. I love Baker. I love everything about him. And then from that point on, it was just, you know, I learned the Browns. I learned the team. I learned their entire starting lineup, everything about him. And then it wasn't until last year when he got hurt that, you know, obviously, he didn't have a great season coming off that career year for him, at least. And, you know, it was tough watching it. I'm not going to be one of those blind Baker Mayfield fans knowing, oh, Baker's top 10 quarterback. Baker's great. I know what Baker is. Most people know what Baker is. And he gets traded to the Panthers. And, you know, I just think the Browns organization did him dirty. I can understand why they traded for Deshaun from a talent standpoint, you know, outside of all everything else, that's kind of a problem. But of course, week one this year, he's playing against his former team that knows him just as well as he knows them. And you could tell from watching that game, he just wasn't very comfortable in the first half. And, you know, he's playing against his former team, nerves. Second half, he looked pretty good. So I'm excited for this weekend.
That's good. Yeah. And like we were saying, they had that tough loss last week. It's going to be crucial for them to bounce back. They don't want to go 0-2. JT, what are your expectations for the game? I mean, we talk about it almost every night, but how are you feeling? I mean, tough week one loss, heartbreaking basically, but can he rebound after a tough loss like that to his former team?
I think the biggest the biggest factor in this game is whether your two edge rushers play, because you could see he had no time. He didn't look comfortable when Myles Garrett and Davian Clowney were pass rushing him. So I think if Thibodeau and Aziz Olari, is that his name?
Yeah.
If they play, again, we don't know how good Thibodeau is. I personally think he's going to be great. I think he should have been the number one pick. I think before the season started and before he started having those interviews and some NFL teams thought he had personality problems, I thought he was the best talent at the number one pick. So I'm excited to see him play. You know, if it depends what kind of Baker Mayfield you're going to get. That's the thing about him. He's not very consistent, and you don't know. You know, if you get Patrick Mahomes, you know what you're getting every week. You get Justin Herbert, you know what you're getting. Baker, you don't really know. And a lot of people thought that they were going to get a Baker Mayfield that was coming out for vengeance, coming out for put all his energy and everything into that one game just to kind of prove the Browns wrong. And he didn't start that way. Are we getting the second half Baker? Are we getting the fourth quarter Baker that led a 14-point comeback and put his offense in the lead and basically relied on their defense? And then we saw how that went. So I think the Carolina Panthers offense learned a lot from last game. And specifically getting Christian McCaffrey involved. McCaffrey's a playmaker. He's the best player on that team. And even from that fumbled snap, McCaffrey picked it up off the ground and ran for like 15 yards. You know, get McCaffrey the ball. I think that's going to be the deciding factor in the game.
No, absolutely. What were you saying about Baker after the first half? I remember you texted me. What were your words?
I forget the exact words, but I basically said he's bad and I can't believe –
You wanted him out of the NFL.
He didn't look like he just belonged in the NFL in that first half. Coming from one of his biggest fans, he looked awful. Again,
remember what I was saying, though? I was like, yo, maybe he's nervous. And you're like, he can't be nervous. He's got to go out and beat his team. But, you know, in the second half, he really proved that, you know, he was all about it. Like, he came back in the second half. He brought the Panthers back into the game. He gave them life. I mean, without him in that second half, that team's just crawling over and they're accepting defeat in week one. So it's good that he showed heart and he was pretty competitive in the second half to lead his team to a comeback and almost a game-winning drive. You know, it came down to a last-second field goal. We always love those. But yeah, so this week could be a different story. You could see a really good Baker, or you could see a Baker who's under pressure. We know Ike Ekwonu, his first start in the NFL was against Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney. I don't think that's a lot of fun for a rookie offensive tackle, you know, and that's not an easy assignment. This week, it definitely gets easier, but it just depends. I mean, it looks like Kayvon's going to play. He's pretty optimistic about it after the reports yesterday, but you never know. At the end of the day, they could just be saying that, and then today we'll find out. It's Friday. We'll probably find out in like a half hour after we record this that he's playing or not. So I think we'll see Kayvon. I don't think we'll see Aziz. So it's going to be interesting to see how those guys will contain McCaffrey on the edges.
I'll tell you one thing that I noticed that's different about Baker. Even this entire offseason, you know, he's it looks like he got humbled a little bit. The media is not his friend, and it's part on them and part on him, right? If you're not going to give the media what they want, they're not going to like you. He was wise, he was cocky, but this offseason, I've gotten a different feel from Baker. You know, he's saying the right things. He's not making stories and not burning a fire under the media. I'll say one thing, that one false quote that came out, he didn't say that. And the fact that the reporter came out and kind of backtraced that, first off, she wasn't even a reporter. She's an analytics worker, I think, for NFL. And she was just on the sideline for the Bills because I guess they all get preseason assignments. They all go follow a team. So first off, she's not even a reporter. And the second off, if you're going to report something as a non-reporter, it better be accurate and it better be right. And in that case, it didn't seem it. But I will say also, like, from a maturity standpoint, last year, if he threw a pick, he would kind of just get in his own head and get rattled. He'd walk right over to the bench. He went right to his coaches and he tried figuring out where he messed up. And then you could say, after a really, really bad first half performance and then that terrible off throw pick, it's kind of tough to get back into a groove. He started connecting with, ever since that pick, he connected with passes. He was finding the open guy. He looked more comfortable getting rid of the ball. So, you know, I think you also got to keep in mind, Matt Rhule came out and said, oh, it was his first game. He's only been here 30, 40 days. Well, that's kind of your fault because you had a quarterback competition for a quarterback you knew was getting brought in to be your starter. You're not bringing in Baker if you like Sam Darnold, you're confident in Sam Darnold. So he lost so many valuable first-team reps in training camp that could have, you know, maybe made him look a little more comfortable in the first game of the season.
Yeah.
No, and it's all very true. I mean, you saw it. He kind of looked at times like how Darnold said last year, he was seeing ghosts. That first half wasn't a good first half for him, but like we were just saying, he got it together in the second half and he led his team back and actually put them in the game. I mean, also too, his buddy Robbie Anderson, that nice touchdown catch was the longest reception in the NFL last weekend, week one. So that's something to look forward to going over the top. No Aaron Robinson this weekend for the Giants. He had his appendix moved after the game on Sunday. So that's like the only clear injury report besides Wandale Robinson and then just getting guys back like Aziz and Kayvon. So hopefully we see them out there. Kadarius Toney, you know, him and his hamstring, I think he tweaked it again a little bit in practice, they were saying yesterday. So like Tom and
I don't think he like moves when he's not at practice. Like, I don't think he leaves his house and stretches or anything.
I agree with Tom on that. I don't, cause it's weird. You want to see him play. And then when he gets the ball in his hands, he's magical,
yeah.
But then you never get to see him out on the field. So it kind of sucks all around. Cause it's like, we want to see this guy, but then you only get little glimpses of hope. And it's like, wow, like this guy could be so great. And then you never see him out there.
I would just like to go over really quick the thing that kind of ran the Giants Twitterverse, the community that Q always gets lost in sometimes, Giants Twitter, the video of Dable after the game when the game ended, he had a big smile on his face, went up, shook Coach Vrabel's hand, very civil, and then my man exploded. All I think about, he's been here since what, March, April. I think all the emotion and energy that was in that guy's beautiful bald head, finally just absolutely let out. He was pushing through people. Players are trying to walk up to him. He was just like slapping their shoulder pads and just, he was running all over the place. They dumped Gatorade on him. He didn't even feel it. That was cool. And it just shows that, like, I don't think any other Giants coach the last 6-7 years would have done that. Joe Judge celebrated a couple of times, but he never really like smiled much. Dable, I think, was celebrating not only for him, but also for, I think, the entire fan base, because like me and Q talked about the other day, Giants haven't won a game in September since I think I was a toddler. So it was great to just see him just kind of let it all out. And then fast forward to yesterday, my favorite person on the team, including players and staff and front office, is the DC, Wink Martindale, because the guy is just he just seems like an absolute lunatic. He blitzes all the time. He seems like just a guy I want to be around. I plan on being him for Halloween. Me and Q are working out how I'm going to get it's one shirt. It looks like he wears two shirts, but it's one shirt, the blue vest and the white long sleeve. I'm going to be Wink for Halloween. I'll do the goatee thing. But he said in his post-practice presser yesterday about how Giants fans need to show up loud and they need to be loud and make MetLife a place that teams don't want to play in again. Make Baker use the silent count. I wasn't planning on having the Giants enter my mind until probably Sunday morning. But after watching that, I didn't even get to leave bed yesterday before I watched that because I worked late Wednesday night. I immediately wanted to order 3 feet worth of drywall just to run through it. Not even to put it up, just to run through it. The coaching staff is just, they're working on getting to the fans in terms of communication. The last couple of coaches didn't really give spark in terms of communicating with the fans and giving them something to be excited about. And these guys just, you can tell they want to win. They're not here to, you can tell when coaches try and rebuild, they kind of get lost in that sometimes and don't really take winning seriously, which is why I am the way I am mentally now with this team. But these guys, they just want to win. And I don't think it matters who they play, that they're going into every game thinking they can win.
The crazy thing is, like, in Wink's presser, he was like, he didn't say, oh, hope to see you guys there. He's like, I better see you guys there.
Yeah.
And you guys better be loud. There's like no excuses. It's the home opener. We're coming off a gritty week one win. Like, it's time to buckle down. Like, let's go. Let's go get another win. And let's show like this NFL, this New York Giants fan base, like what we're about. And like, let's build a winning culture. So from my perspective and all Giants fans, it's really cool to see because we haven't had someone like that in years. It feels like. And Dable, just to be as excited as he was after that field goal attempt was no good, it was a really cool feeling as a fan. And I'm just excited to see what they game plan in week two. I mean, this is a big matchup for both teams. Are the Panthers going to go 0-2? JT, what do you think? I mean, they're not favorited. They're underdogs in this game, which is the crazy thing too. We haven't, as Giants fans, you don't really see them as the favorite going into many weekend matchups.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing from a neutral point of view. It does seem like the Giants have a different feel. You know, the coaching, like elevating all the players, you know, playing to win instead of playing not to lose is a lot different. You know, Joe Judge running the ball or QB sneaking the ball on third and long just to not turn the ball over or, mm-hmm. you know, especially with Giants fans didn't have expectations. And it kind of reminds me of almost the Yankees at the beginning of the year. The Yankees fans didn't really have high expectations going into the year because the offseason moves that were made. It's the winning that gets and gives expectations. So this team, you know, it's a good Giants team. You got to keep in mind, this defensive coordinator knows Baker, played against Baker for years. So, and Baker always struggled against Baltimore's defense. You know, I think Daniel Jones being, I don't know, yelled at or critiqued after throwing that pick, something you haven't seen. You know, usually a quarterback throws a pick, you're like, eh, whatever. No, Dable was on him. And it also shows the preparation too, because when Saquon said they knew exactly what play to run to go for the 2-point conversion, that means Dable practiced being in the situation. Preparedness for the game is everything. He didn't even have to call it out. He said he looked at Saquon and Saquon knew exactly what the play was to run. You don't see that the last couple of years in the Giants. Everyone would have looked around like, oh, what play we run? No, they knew. They prepare for every single moment. And it just goes to show how important coaching is in the NFL. And that's something that I think the Panthers are lacking. You know, Matt Rhule hasn't really proven anything at the NFL level. He's actually, a lot of Panthers fans think that he's the worst coach in the NFL right now.
So those are like the vibes around Matt Rhule, because I mean, coming out of college, I wanted him to be the Giants' next head coach. I really liked him. And then he took that offer from Carolina and never stepped foot on the plane to go to New York for the meeting. He's like, oh, offer me millions of dollars and I'll be your coach. And they were like, yeah, no. So, I mean, kind of happy it didn't work out, but what's like the vibe, JT, with him? Like, what do Panthers fans on Twitter say about him? Do they like him or what is it?
Panthers fans don't like him. And the whole thing with the media and Twitter and everything is Baker's not a fan. Not a lot of people like Baker Mayfield. And the crazy thing is Cleveland fans really see Baker as almost a villain. Like he gave up on them when their organization kicked him out of town. You know, he wanted to be in Cleveland. He embraced a team that was 0-16. He embraced a team that had one win the two seasons prior. And, you know, I'm not saying he's the main reason they won and made the playoffs, but it's a culture change. Culture is everything. And they kind of just ran him out of town. And now Panthers fans love him. Panthers fans love him, and they don't like Matt Rhule. Again, I forget what the stat is, but the amount of – what were the Panthers last year? 4-13?
Yeah, they started off like 3-0.
I think Matt Rhule is like 10-24 as a head coach.
Yeah. So I think this is definitely – Matt Rhule knows he's on the hot seat, and that's one of the reasons why he brought Baker in, because he knew he probably couldn't get it done with Sam Darnold. You know, we'll see how – we don't know what to expect. It's weird, too. The coaches seem very confident after that loss. Like, it almost seems like the coach thought they did a really good job against the Browns and Jacoby Brissett, which, you know, you let Nick Chubb run for 140 yards, splitting time to Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
You know, I look at it like the Giants game, like both teams made improvements in the second half, and literally the Giants were one a couple inches away from them having a week one loss. So it's kind of like the same thing. And I thought it would have been the same. Like, oh, we lost, but it's like we had so much to improve on. And like, you know, what we did to compete in that second half looks really good, so we can be confident moving forward. That's why, you know, the Giants aren't the best team in the world still, but a week one win feels really good. And when you get lucky like that, it definitely builds more confidence for the entire fan base and just the organization as a whole. So I'm super excited. JT, besides Baker Mayfield, what are you looking forward to on Sunday? Because we're going to be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm hoping it's going to be a packed house. What are you looking forward to out of this game?
I'll tell you before that win, I was fairly confident I could walk into MetLife wearing a Baker Mayfield jersey and be fine. Now I don't know. I might get some hecklers yelling at me for wearing it.
I'm sure you'll get plenty of hecklers. Yeah. Definitely during the tailgate, but it's all out of fun, of course, mm-hmm. at the end of the day. But no, I'm expecting Baker to come out and have a good game, because obviously this is going to be big for him to bounce back and lead his team to a win. I think a big thing for the Giants is definitely going to be able to contain Christian McCaffrey, because if they can't do that, it opens up all the passing lanes. And that's when the Giants secondary, as thin as it is, could get burnt and it could be a long day. This is the one team out of the next three games for the Giants that I'm most concerned about. Panthers, Cowboys without Dak, and then the Bears. So their schedule is fairly easy. It's like, I mean, you know, they're not the best team, the Giants, but looking at it, you got to be pretty optimistic as a fan after a week one win. So we'll see what happens. But this week two matchup against the Panthers could be a real good game, dude. And I'm really excited that we're actually going to it.
Baker Mayfield has never lost against the NFC East.
Ever in his career.
Ever. He's 4-0.
And I think he's also 4-0 against the spread. I could be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure he's 4-0 against.
Well, probably.
That means he's due. That means he's due for a loss.
They were probably dogs or like a short favorite.
I'll tell you one thing though. We found this out, like, I think last week or 2 weeks ago. Me and Tom were at the same game, Baker and Saquon's first ever preseason game at MetLife, Giants Browns. And you know, I went there and had some luck. Again, it was preseason, but seeing Saquon explode for a 43-yard run on the first play of the game was pretty impressive.
Yeah, you guys are in for a good one. It's early in the year. Nobody knows who anybody is yet in terms of the teams themselves. If the weather's going to be great, that means the tailgate's going to be great. And all either of those teams need is both of you to just get a little riled up and going into that stadium ready for war. It's going to be fun. It's going to be it's either going to be the most fast-paced, low-scoring game of all time. Like, you're going to blink, and it's going to be, like, 13-10 in the fourth quarter. Or the defenses are just going to tip the caps off, and Baker and, I guess, Daniel Jones are going to be going back and forth. Or Saquon might just carry the offense again. But it should be a good one. I wish I could go. I'd love nothing more than to go there with you guys. Had been to a Giant game. I've been to a regular season Giant games since our junior year of high school, and it was in Dallas. I've never been to a regular season game at MetLife. I know. But
we'll get you to one this year for sure. No, I mean, you still watch them. It's not like you don't watch them. So, but also, I just looked at the weather, 87 on Sunday and Sunday.
Yeah,
so.
you guys are in for a good one.
So it's going to be hot. I mean, sitting in the sun, it'll be hot, but it'll be a lot
of fun. Stay hydrated.
Yeah, we'll try our best. I mean, I'm really looking forward to it. And like we were saying, it's kind of a tale of two big time running backs, McCaffrey and Saquon. What can they do for their offense? I feel like both teams' offenses are in like the same spot. They're pretty stagnant. But if their running backs can break out and make some big plays, it can change the entire game. We saw that with Saquon against the Titans. He had a couple big runs, and then it changed the whole second half. And, you know, with McCaffrey too, JT, you said the Panthers weren't really using him that well in the first half. And he's also someone, too, coming back from a lot of injuries. So it will be interesting to see what his workload is like going into week two. Are they going to be using him every snap? Like, what are they going to be doing with him? So he's my main concern. Obviously, DJ Moore, I think their receivers are better than the Titans unit. So that's going to be something to watch out for. But if the Giants can get in the trenches and keep McCaffrey to like a normal game like they did what they did to Derrick Henry, I think the Giants will be in a good spot moving forward throughout that game. But it's going to be tough to stop him. You know, he's one of those guys, you blink your eye, he might be 60 yards down the field with the football.
I also want to kind of backpack on just, again, how important coaching is and how important trying to win the game is, right? You saw the Giants. They tried when they went for the win. And I'm sure Giants fans, if they didn't get that two-point conversion, I'm still Giants fans would have been more happy than they would have in the previous years, just because it shows like they actually are trying to win. And then at the end of the Carolina Browns game, you know, Carolina's driving down. Instead of going for the touchdown and sealing the win, they play to just get the field goal and kill the clock, which, you know, looking back on it now, if they play, Baker was driving that entire fourth quarter, perfect QBR. Yeah. And they want to settle for the field goal. They want to kill the clock instead of going for the end zone. And it came back and lost them the game, essentially. So I think coaching is going to be very, very big in this game.
I think coaching too. And I think another one of my big takeaways was what mistakes are our quarterbacks going to make on Sunday? I think that's going to play a really big part, because everyone saw that Daniel Jones interception in the red zone gets ripped apart by Dable. You just can't be doing that, especially in the fourth quarter too, when you're down a score, you need points. Any points possible is good at that point of the game. And you go over there and throw an interception. So it's going to be kind of crucial to see which quarterback I think makes a mistake first. I think there's going to be mistakes in this game by both quarterbacks. It just depends who makes less and who makes them not at the worst time in the world. So that'll be interesting to pay attention to. Go ahead.
The Tom. Draft day tweet from Baker is going to be floating around all day Sunday. Though his comment on when the Giants took Daniel Jones.
So, I still don't believe that. I really don't. I don't know. Like, he's just going to say it. I can't, man. I can't believe that.
It was like, one of those things.
Yeah, like, I get it. Daniel's not the best quarterback in the world, but I just don't see Baker, like, going out of his way and being like, oh, this guy over here, like, I don't know why they took him. Like, I just can't see. I don't, you know, like, oh, man, it's so weird to think about that, like someone saying that. Obviously, like, everyone wants to be the best, but it's like, whoa, like, he said that. So I'm sure Giants fans will be thinking about that one Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All day.
Yeah. I was actually going through and looking at some stuff, and it brought me to a picture of when Baker Mayfield and Saquon had that bet for who's going to win Rookie of the Year. And Saquon had to buy, or Baker bought Saquon this fat necklace that just had quads on it.
That necklace is sick.
I think it, again, a lot of sports talk shows like First Take and all these other ones talk about Baker Mayfield more than they talk about any other quarterback, and it's because they bring in ratings, right? He's somebody to talk about, and people want to listen. His quotes get taken so out of context just to make him look like the villain, like that Daniel Jones thing. If you look into the actual story of what actually happened, I'm not saying it was, you know, he didn't have to comment on it, but it was more like a compliment to, like, oh, people are overthinking it. Just take the best player of it. You know what I mean? I don't know. Look into the quote. It's
weird. One of those. Weird. You can't believe everything you see. That's why when they're saying, oh, Kayvon's optimistic about playing, it's like, all right, when the final injury report comes out on Friday, we'll see if he's playing or not. So, I mean, what are you thinking, JT? Key takeaways to the game for the Panthers. What do they have to do to seal a win here in week two? Get back on in the win W column.
Yeah, I think McCaffrey is the biggest X factor in this game. Even with Saquon on the field, just because we saw Saquon and he looked like the best running back in the NFL last week, and he helped them win. As the Panthers almost won the game without using McCaffrey. If we could implement McCaffrey into that offense, limit the turnovers of Baker, get into a groove, some play action, roll to the left, it's his best throw. I honestly think it's going to be a high scoring game. I think there's going to be turnovers, fumbles, picks, whatever. I'm thinking like, I don't know, I take the over in this game, honestly.
What's it at, 43.5, the over?
Yeah.
Okay. Tom, what do you think, boy? What are you feeling? I know you'll be up at Bristol. You'll be working.
Yeah.
Like, who knows? You might get faxed the sheet again for, like, the game recap, the game log. Yeah, and I might say Giants sneak out another win.
I don't think I'm prompting Sunday because my calendar for Sunday is.
Can you see a calendar from that?
Oh, far? God. I've been crossing off the wrong week of work. Jesus. I just crossed off all of next week already. I gotta fix
that. Oh, so you're off then. Oh, so you can come Sunday. You're good.
Yeah, no. Oh, wait, no. What day is
today's the 16th. September 16th.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm
two days out till game day.
I'm crossing all the wrong things off. I work 3 to 12 Sunday, but it doesn't say what I'm doing. I don't think I'm prompting. Usually it says that I'm prompting. Already on the schedule, it's blank. So I might get one of the other shifts. But yeah, like last week was pretty cool. I'll give my takeaways and then I actually have to run. Got that meeting with the bank.
So exciting.
Yeah, just talking about money. It's gonna be a weird game, dude. Both teams don't really know what they are. Like I said, they don't know what they are yet. McCaffrey didn't go crazy last week, so he's obviously due to go nuts. Saquon did go crazy, so now the only question is, can he keep that up? And because, you know, you look at all his yardage, he did have a 65-yard run. So you take that one play out, and I think he still had around 100 yards. I think JT nailed it on the head. It's going to come down to coaching. Who who's going to want to win more at the end of the game. I think if you just look at the film from last week alone, Brian Daboll wants to win a game at the end more than Matt Rhule, because Daboll went for two instead of kicking it and tying it. I'm interested. Again, I still have absolutely no faith at all. But I think that's good. I think I'm the sacrificial lamb, if you will. I'm going to keep thinking that they're going to lose these games and just think that things haven't changed. And then maybe that will incorporate the change. Maybe I'm the jinx that's going to be – not the jinx. Maybe I'm the, you know, the reverse juju, if you will. So, like, in all my pick'em pools and stuff like that, I'm going to pick the Panthers again. And then hopefully it flips the script and the Giants somehow win the game. I think you two being there is going to have a very, very impactful swing on things. I think Matt Rhule and JT might lock eyes at one point, or even him and Baker might lock eyes at one point. Q, you never know. You could meet Saquon again out of nowhere. It's going to be a fun game. I think it's going to be in the 20s again, kind of like both teams were last week. And it's going to come down to the end. This game wasn't meant to be a blowout. That's why the spread is basically a pick'em when you look at it. It's 1.5. I know it was at 2 for a little bit. It's gonna come down to the final minute, just like both teams did last week for their respective games. I think the Panthers have more to prove, if you will, because they did lose that game last week.
Indeed.
You know, and the Giants just, they don't know what going into a game after a win feels like this early in the year. Because they don't win in September. They just don't. That's not – well, at least that's what the old regime thought. So I think the Panthers are just going to have wanted a little bit more at the end, probably kick a field goal. Kind of like the same thing. Giants are going to score at the end, and then I'm done, I promise. Giants are going to score at the end. It's going to look like they're about to go 2-0 somehow. Dable's going to be fired up. Panthers going to drive right down the field. Baker's going to do his thing. And then I think this time the field goal is going to unfortunately go in. And the Giants are going to lose in a heartbreaker. But again, this is all hoping that the opposite happens and they somehow win. But not. I think the Panthers squeak this one out. But it's another positive performance from the team and the coaching, where the Giants are all of a sudden 1-2, 1-1 halfway through September. And like you said, they have a lot of decent matchups as the year goes on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Tom, you got to go now or?
No, I can listen to you guys for like 5 minutes.
All right, cool. So, I mean, last year, the Panthers came to MetLife. They lost 25-3, but they're totally, basically different teams right now. Darnold was the quarterback last year. Giants played without Tony Golladay and Saquon last year. So a lot has changed, and a lot's going to be different this game. But like you said, Vegas kind of knows their odds, and, you know, it's basically like a pick'em, like Tom said. So it's going to be an exciting game. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I'm really happy to be there, and I'm happy to be at a Giants team that's actually should be a good one. I mean, I went to the week 18 matchup last year against the – was it still the football team at the time? I'm pretty sure it was still a football team at the time when Joe Judge ran 2 QB sneaks in a row. So that was the last – that's the last memory I really have at a Giants football game besides meeting Saquon postgame.
Yeah.
But no, I think it's going to be a great game, and I think it really comes down to which coach outduels the other one. JT was saying it too. Not a lot of people are really high on Matt Rhule. We saw what Daboll just did. So it kind of gives Giants fans hope that you could see this newer coach in Brian Daboll out coach, not like a veteran, but, you know, has some more experience in the NFL with Matt Rhule. So I could see him out coaching him. And I think that could lead the Giants to victory. I think my final score prediction is going to be 24 Giants to 23. Panthers. I think the Giants edge out a win. I have to go with them winning because, you know, after a week 1 win, you got to feel good about the team, but there still are a lot of bad parts about the team. There's still things that can go wrong and can rear their ugly heads around. So it's just keeping those monsters down deep and burying them in the trenches somewhere. But I'm super excited. You know, whatever happens. 1-1 doesn't sound terrible. I know people aren't going to be happy to hear that, but 1-1 doesn't sound bad halfway through September when you have Dallas without Dak coming up. And Chicago at home again, too. 3 home games in a row. You know, let's make something happen. These Giants can do a little bit of damage, kind of put themselves on the map. So we'll see.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. The Giants are in a dangerous spot right now in the Baker Mayfield cycle. because usually it's been happening for years. Play really bad, plays well, proves everyone wrong, and then it just keeps going. So, you know, maybe he is a little more less nervous because he's not playing against his former team, and he's just going to go out there, less eyes on him, and play well. Yeah.
My thing is, 30, too. 25. My thing is, too, I was thinking about this. I know we say this a lot about Daniel Jones. This is it, like this chance. I think these next three games are really going to tell Giants fans. Like, I think these next three, this is it, are really going to be able to decide if he's going to be here next year or not. Because, you know, they're playing a team like the Panthers. Solid defense, good defensive front. Derrick Brown, guys like that. J.C. Horn on the corner. But not like a super like dominating team. Like I was more afraid of the Titans. Obviously they were the number one seed last year in the AFC, but obviously things changed during the offseason. Anyway, it's going to be really just crucial to see how Daniel plays against these kind of subpar teams like Dallas without Dak, like I said, and then the Bears with Justin Fields. Like, is he going to be able to hold his own? Because if we see kind of a mediocre Daniel Jones in these games and they're barely squeaking by wins or they're losing games because he doesn't play well, it's gonna show really big towards if he's gonna
be I'd love to stay and talk all day with you guys about this because we all know that we could. But I gotta run. JT, always good talking to the boy. Yep. Listen, you two, have fun Sunday. I'm gonna be talking to you the next 3 days before and anyway, but to all our listeners, have fun and enjoy the game.
Tom, enjoy one hot take before you go.
One hot take. Daniel and Baker combined for 8 touchdowns.
Holy shit.
I can say it. Excuse me,
but yeah.
But yeah.
Passing or rushing and throwing?
Combined for 8 total touchdowns.
I wonder what the prop line on that is. Oh my god.
But all right, guys, I'll talk to you later.
Tom, we'll catch you. JT, we'll do our hot takes and then we'll get off. So if you want to start, go ahead.
I think DJ Moore, you're going to have 140-plus receiving yards and a touchdown. And I think the Panthers are going to score more than 30 points.
Okay. All right, cool.
I don't know how hot of a take that is. That's
like, no, it's fine. You never know. The thing about hot takes is, like, it could be whatever you want. Like, a hot take for me, an all Giants fan, this is my first one right now, is Kenny Golladay will score a touchdown this weekend. He hasn't scored one in however many games he's played for the Giants. So maybe this weekend he cracks the seal and finally gets in the end zone. That's like a hot take on its own. And you wouldn't think that. And my other one is that I'm going to say Daniel Jones throws for 300 yards or more on Sunday.
So okay.
They need a good game out of him. I thought he played well last week. He did his job basically, but I want to see him go out there and I wish I could see, you know, I feel bad saying this. I wish I could see him play like he did against the Saints every damn week. I wish he was that type of quarterback. But who knows? Maybe he gets more comfortable in this offense and maybe he starts slinging the ball more. So, JT, we're super excited for Sunday, dude. This is going to be a lot of fun. And I'll see you Saturday night, dude. We'll be ready Saturday night and Sunday we'll be there. So we'll take a bunch of picks and it'll be a good time, dude. And I can't wait.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, dude. Thanks for coming on as always. You know, we saw you last 2 years ago when we did the preview for the Browns Giants game. Now we're here doing the Panthers Giants game preview. Everyone, thanks for listening. And of course, as always, we'll see you guys on the game recap later on this weekend. Everyone have a nice weekend and hopefully we enjoy another victory Monday, Giants fans. So we'll catch you on another episode soon. Have a good one.
See you.
Peace.